The everyday sound of a mobile phone alerting its owner to an incoming text message. In the London offices of the World Food Programme, where the message was received, it's a sound heard on and off all day long. Cancelled meetings, rescheduled appointments, plus a few messages from friends or families at home. But this one was different. It came from a remote refugee camp in northeastern Kenya, a drought-ridden corner of the world where over 200,000 Sudanese and Somali refugees survive in makeshift huts with handouts from UN food aid workers. Earlier this year, the WFP was forced to cut food rations to the refugees by 20% due to lack of funds. That was before heavy rains caused flooding and further devastation to this disaster-ridden Horn of Africa region. The sender of the message was an enterprising young Somali man who fled the fighting and famine in his home country as a young boy some 15 years ago. His name? Mohamed Sokor.
The situation is very desperate. Large number of malnutrition of children.
Speaking to us on a crackly phone line from that same refugee camp in Dadaab, northern Kenya, Mohammed explained why he'd sent an SMS to a World Food Programme official in London.
This is because I thought that they are not aware of the situation, or if it's so, then they can at least improve the situation here in the camp. That's why I was encouraged to contact them.
Dear sir, he wrote, there's an alarming issue here. People are given too few kilograms of food. You must help.
In some respects, this was a very direct appeal for help, the kind of appeal that you're not used to getting much of the time, particularly if you're sitting in an office in London.
The recipient of Mohammed's message was Greg Barrow, Senior Public Affairs Officer for the UN's World Food Programme in London. He told my colleague Paul Anthem he believes it's the first time a refugee has taken advantage of modern technology to launch a direct appeal on behalf of those in the camps who find it increasingly hard to survive.
And he was essentially saying to me that he and his fellow refugees in this camp, Dagahali camp, which is in a remote place called Dadaab, were short of food, and could I do something about it, as it was the responsibility of the World Food Programme to feed them. So I think everybody in developed industrialised nations like the United Kingdom, Italy, most of Europe, North America are used to receiving text messages from friends, colleagues, businesses, organisations, entities which are putting appeals out. But it's quite rare to get an individual appeal from a refugee who's living in a refugee camp in northern Kenya, an area which I should add is not just harsh at the best of times, but is currently suffering from a very, very extensive drought that's affecting the local population. And I think this is a sign of how technology has moved forward, and that individuals in these areas are taking advantage of technology to perhaps exploit it to their advantage, and all strength to them.
Now, obviously, the problems that we've got in this area, Greg, we're looking at a lack of funding, and we're looking at the problems with the drought as well. The funding to start with, it seems there's been quite a cutback, and that's restricting the work that a lot of the aid agencies can carry out. Can you explain a bit, give us a bit of background to that?
Well, for the past 4 to 5 months, we have been highlighting a very extensive drought situation, not just in northern Kenya, but in the whole of the Horn of Africa region, that northeastern tip of the African continent, which has attracted a reasonable amount of funding, enough to make sure that we can just about work our way through feeding up to 10 million people in that area over the next few months as they struggle through towards the next harvest. But what you have to understand is that alongside this humanitarian crisis that's taking place in the region, there are, in a sense, micro crises, and these are crises that involve other issues, and this is perhaps where this refugee and his story comes into play. I mean, it's probably not particularly well known that in Kenya at the moment there are around 230,000 refugees, mainly from Somalia and Sudan, living in pretty abject conditions in refugee camps, and they've been living in those camps for sometimes up to 15 years. And their plight very rarely attracts much attention. And that was what was so poignant about this message from this individual, Mohammed Sokor. He, in a sense, put a name and a face to the plight of those refugees whose voices are so rarely heard, whose issues are lost in the wider scheme of things and very rarely make the news. And I think it helped to highlight this ongoing problem of refugees, not just in Kenya, but around the world. For example, this year, the World Food Programme is aiming to feed around 1.9 million refugees in various parts of the world. Their plight is very, very rarely heard. It's a sort of forgotten disaster, if you like.
And of course, the suffering of these refugees, Greg, totally compounded by the weather conditions and the heavy rain, the ongoing flooding. And this is really just another menace for the people, isn't it?
Yes, the conditions they live in are pretty awful at the best of times. I've travelled up to those camps in northern Kenya. I've visited the camps around Dadaab several times. This is a remote part of the world, a very dry, arid part of Kenya where there's very little vegetation. The climate there is pretty punishing, extremely hot during the day, and it can get quite cool at night. And people are living in difficult conditions. They're living in makeshift shelters that they've constructed, maybe out of pieces of branch and wood that they found in the surrounding area, covered with various bits of plastic sheeting and cloth, whatever they can find. And it's frankly a miserable life for those refugees up there. They have no prospect of returning to their home country in Somalia because of the security problems that prevail over there. And at the same time, they're stuck in these camps where they have very little to do, very little options in terms of employment, and it's just a waiting game for them, and all the time their lives are just dribbling away.
Since the days of Christ himself, the church has always had a special concern for refugees and for all those forced to flee their countries seeking safety and decent living conditions. In many refugee camps, priests and religious are in the front lines, alongside other aid agencies supplying food, shelter, and other forms of practical help to the most vulnerable and forgotten victims of conflicts. And more recently, the church has been stepping up its crucial advocacy role, calling on governments, the UN, and other influential institutions to support the rights and needs of refugees. As head of the Vatican's Council for All Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino says this is an increasingly important part of the Church's social ministry.
Because this is based on the Gospel. And as you heard, I was 16 years a representative of the Holy See to United Nations. And in my 16 years, are countless the interventions that I made in exactly in the name of, on behalf of the refugees. And I proposed the refugee, not a number, but a human face.
Putting a human face to the millions of refugees around the world is exactly what Mohamed Sokour did with his urgent text message to the World Food Programme office in London. Listening to his voice, it's hard to ignore his plea and just write him off as another anonymous victim of Africa's man-made and natural disasters. If, alongside its regular food rations, the WFP could hand out mobile phones with the numbers of presidents, prime ministers and other influential people, then maybe such personal appeals could reach the hearts and pockets of those in a position to help, including perhaps each one of us.
What you see here is technology being used to bridge what in many respects is a chasm in terms of the difference between the lives that we live in the industrialized world and the lives that those refugees live in those camps. Suddenly, it throws a sort of line across that chasm and allows that individual who perhaps is normally cut out of our lives and not even considered, who is just some anonymous number in sub-Saharan Africa, to make his plight aware to the rest of the world, to give an identity to it, to put a story and a life behind it, and perhaps bring home the reality of the difficulties that he's challenged with on a day-to-day basis. And perhaps it makes it more persuasive for those of us who live in relative comfort to do a little bit more about it.
Greg Barrow there, Senior Public Affairs Officer for the World Food Programme in London, talking to my colleague Paul Anthem. And earlier you heard Cardinal Renato Raffaele Martino, head of the Vatican's Council for Migrants and Itinerant Peoples, and Mohamed Sokour, a Somali refugee living in the Dagahali camp in northern Kenya.